Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beer, a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
You know, Vince, it's feeling like night right now.
Like after dark?
I mean, it is dark, so I guess it would be after it becomes dark, but...
Is there maybe just like a sliver of light?
Yeah, it's like, it's the only light that's out in the darkness, you might say.
Oh, it's a star.
Not quite a star, but it may be a star reflecting off it.
Oh, it's the moon.
Yeah, but like, what's a different way to say the moon?
Oh, the loon.
You're so close. Yeah, we're just going to stop teasing it. Today we're drinking a beer called Lunar Rabbit.
That's right, Tom. This is an exciting entry. It's our first entry from Mars Community Brewing right here in Chicago. And if the name hasn't given it away here, this is related to the Lunar New Year.
It is. And I believe Chinese New Year as well.
Yeah, the year of the rabbit.
What year are you in the Chinese New Year calendar?
Okay, I've done this and I think I'm like something like the year of the cat.
I'm the year of the monkey.
I'm definitely.
We were taught this at my school. I don't know what they were teaching you in Michigan.
I'm sure they taught me once and I totally forgot.
There's a rotation of animals in the Chinese lunar calendar.
I'm the year of the horse.
Year of the horse. Oh, I think I'd rather be a monkey.
Hey, that's on you.
We'll have to check in on some other ages. I don't remember all of
One's
them,
a regal creature.
I think my dad was...
The other throws poop.
My dad was the year of the goat. I don't know if that is better or
the
not.
Year of Tom Brady?
You stop that right now. I will shut this fucking microphone off. No, so we're drinking Lunar Rabbit, as you mentioned. We're going to get into what a rice lager is in just a moment, but... Let's hear it from the brewery itself. So they say this is a delicious lager brewed with rice, barley, and grain to bring you strength and prosperity in the new year. And it also has low hop bitterness. This easy drinker will leave you with a dry finish to pair with dim sum and your spicy favorite foods. That's great.
Woo!
I like dim sum.
I'm a fan.
I will also point out that they have done a couple of these Lunar series before. They've done Lunar Tiger and Lunar Ox. Those are some of the other animals
okay.
in that tree. You know, these guys, they started up in about 2013. This was a dream that was formed at Maria's Packaged Goods and Community Bar in Bridgeport, which is on the south side of Chicago. I know that intimately well as a White Sox fan, and I know that you hate the White Sox, so you don't know it as well.
I don't like the White Sox, but I actually have been to Mars, I guess their
community,
tasting room, the community brewing. I'm not quite sure what it's called, but I've been down there. I've been to Mars, and it's a lot of fun. I watched the Kentucky Derby there.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go to a handful of White Sox games every year, so I am near Bridgeport a lot. I will say that it's really becoming more popular. It's a hot property item right now if you're looking to buy.
Okay.
One of the only affordable homes in this great city of Chicago. But anyways, with the encouragement of some of their friends in the, you know, craft beer community, they opened this facility, and they used a quaint 3-barrel Psycho Brew system to get going, and now they brew in a 15-barrel brew house. Isn't that right?
Yeah. They've got 15 and 30 BBL tanks, a 15 BBL fader, their own canning line, and their growing barrel program, and the entire object of all of that is to continue to let them make smaller batches of handcrafted beer, but not just beer. They also work on other delicious liquids like kombucha, yerba, shrub sodas, and house-made seltzers. Again, there's a reason that community is in their name. We don't hear that in a lot of other breweries, but they're very community focused. And this is a place when they came together and they created it, they wanted it not just to be a showcase of the beer they were creating, but of all of the creativity that was found in their Bridgeport community. And so when you go into Mars, you'll notice all kinds of art, and they're very, very welcoming of creatives around it and giving them space to do their thing.
We should do an episode there. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll give them a call.
We're creatives doing our thing.
We sure are.
And why don't we do the thing we're known for best besides being handsome? Let's drink some of these beers.
Let's crack.
All right. Cheers. I want to give this a real good sniff.
Yeah.
Odd,
smells like a beer.
Oddly odorless for this.
It's carbon monoxide. It's canned carbon monoxide.
That is
That's smooth.
It's very smooth, is what I was about to say.
Oh, it's got a little tartness, a little sweetness around the edge there.
Yeah, you know, this is just a very refined beer. Like, there's not... Okay, so you know how, like, we've done an American lager in recent episodes?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of just, like, fat on those beers, metaphorically speaking. Sure. In the sense that, like, you know, it gets very foamy. It's clear. It's, you know, it feels manufactured. This is, to me, feels like a, like almost like a fine sushi chef. Like, just like the raw ingredients you need boiled and made perfectly and just real clean.
Okay. Well, that is a perfect segue into rice lager in general.
Yeah.
If you were listening, I think a couple episodes ago, Ryan Mack of Mack Brewing came on and actually revealed that Bud Light uses rice in their beer, which was a brutal hit to me because I was very excited to talk about rice lagers. I'm still going to do it. Spoiler. One of the things that is mentioned right off the bat is rice is derided. It's this cheap additive used by major brewers such as Budweiser. But it does have a useful place in a brewer's toolbox. So in the right proportions, what rice can do is it can add clarity, crispness, and a little bit of sweetness, which is exactly what we got here. A significant amount of rice to that malt bill will help clean it up. So I'm very excited to see this out of the glass. Both look, flavor, American barley often has a higher protein content, right? Which creates that haze that we see in a finished beer, but because rice has a lower protein amount, it kind of offsets that haziness and gives that crystal clear look that we see in a Japanese rice lager. Adding rice improves the drinkability. You know, clean flavors often allow brewers to showcase newer hops, you know, instead of having it get lost. So essentially kind of what we've both described here has come through right away. I had that sweetness. You talked about how it was almost artisanal and like expertly crafted, like sushi.
Yeah.
You know, I think that rice lager may be having a comeback.
Is it a comeback or is it just a welcome, I'm here? I guess they've been doing this for a long time, but...
As mentioned, Bud Light has been technically a rice lager.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I feel like this is... To compare the two tonally would just be... utterly fanciful, to quote Succession.
For those of you who don't know, Tom's finally given in and started watching Succession.
I'm done with the first two seasons, so I'm ready to participate now.
I mean, let's break into this, because the immediate place that I go to is the difference, and we've already done this, in the Batmans, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, the Batman had been done before, but not the way that Nolan did it, which is arguably the way that it should have been done.
It got done by Matt Reeves in a pretty interesting and exciting way that was different than Nolan.
Right. So it's probably not to that level, but I think you're right that it is ridiculous to compare this, what we're drinking now, to Bud Light. That being said, Bud Light is really the only commercially distributed rice-based lager that we will have ever had. So if that is what a rice lager is to us, we're going to look at this and say, I don't want that.
Well, hold on. Here's something to think about. So if Bud Light is Marvel Studios, like bare minimum, lowest common denominator, every person's superhero movie, I think to me, this is sort of like Drive. Like, in a way, Drive is a superhero movie, right? It's about a guy, a stoic silent hero who toils in obscurity and eventually saves the day. Now, would you ever say that Drive is like Captain America Winter Soldier? No. But you could say, in a way, that they're both like rice lagers, a.k.a. they are beers that are featuring superheroic figures.
The difference being, one is artistic and very, very detail-oriented.
Yeah.
Which Drive is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could definitely say that.
I think that's where my head is at right now. It's like, just because a movie is a movie, you can't just compare it to anything that's also a movie. That would be ridiculous.
That's fair. That is fair. And yet, if you'd only seen one movie and someone said, let's watch this movie, you'd be like, no, that's not good. I've had a movie before, right? So we're in this weird spot where it's tough to compare that in that manner. I want to go to the actual flavor and the crispness, and I do want to take this into the glass right now.
Good idea.
And just get a look at how clean this is.
Yeah, I had a feeling this would be light. By the way, this is only 5%, so...
So, okay, it's actually not as clear as I thought it would. That being said, it is very pretty.
This looks like almost like a cider in terms of lightness.
Wow, did you have a taste out of the glass?
No.
It's just all the flavors are hitting.
Holy moly.
That's incredible out of a glass. I really, really like this out of the glass. I'd like to go back to the artisanal. I'd like to say, for me, it is a Danny Ainge constructed basketball team.
We talking Jazz, Celtics?
Doesn't matter. Hear me out. Now, when Danny Ainge took over the Celtics, they were bloated, probably not in great shape, and they were nearing a rebuild. And he turned them around, and what was looking like they were going to have to ride out those big contracts, they were going to need to slowly rebuild, he flipped that in one season, kept them competitive, got them draft picks at a high level with the trades to Brooklyn, and established essentially the Boston Celtics as a competitive team for the next decade. Fast forward to this season, the Jazz blow up the nucleus of their team. They send out Rudy Gobert. They send out Donovan Mitchell. They're not expected to compete. Yet, here they are. They get off to a fast start, and yeah, they slow down, but you start to see the pieces that they have. He's very smart. He's put together Lauri Markkanen. He's thrown in. He's kept Jordan Clarkson, right? He has all these pieces, and then he's at the deadline. You look, and you realize that they have somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 above-average players, all young, and $60 million in cap space to go with a significant trove of draft picks, which is not what you expect from a team of their ilk, of their record. That's what you expect of, like, the Pistons. So from that perspective, kind of taking what is expected to be garbage and creating something really surprisingly good out of it, that's what we're doing here.
That's a really unexpected analogy from you, I have to say.
Thank you.
And you're 100% spot on. I mean, Danny Ainge has been a master of the swindling trade for many years.
It's unbelievable.
He actually rebuilt the Celtics twice over.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
And then when he took that Jazz job, everyone was like, what the fuck is he thinking? Why would he want to go out to Utah? After all he's accomplished, like, he wants to go restart the Jazz, and here we are a couple years later, and they're actually got quite an interesting future ahead of them.
Lauri Markkanen's averaging 25 a game. He is looking like the guy who should have been taken, what was he, 10 overall?
Seventh.
Seventh overall.
This is a hard one for me to discuss as a Bulls fan because we, you know, we gave up on him, and I was okay with that at the time. But if I had known that he had this gear in him, I don't know if I would have done that.
Well, that's the thing, is who knows, right? You have to, sometimes it's a change of scenery, but it's you know, you get lucky with that. Joe Dumars did it to stay on sports.
Okay,
with the Pistons,
but here's my thing, though. Why are rice lagers not more popular? Like, because what you just laid out was a very eloquent and beautiful description. I'm actually thinking of a different basketball team that this reminds me of. And It's the 7 seconds or less Phoenix Suns, Steve Nash.
Those were so fun.
Right. Those were fun. It was beautiful basketball. You could argue it was basketball in its purest form. But they ultimately never won a championship. Instead, what they did was they inspired other teams much down the road to mimic their style. And we've seen it kind of replicated in spurts, but not consistently. You know, like the most obvious example is the Warriors. But the Warriors also have the two best shooters ever on the same team, an all-time coach, an all-time defensive ace. Like, I think what was more of a flowing analogous to that was the 2014 Spurs with Kawhi Leonard when they beat the Heat, and they had that just that beautiful flowing offense.
So there's two different ways to think about it, right? There's this beautiful flowing offense, and you've talked about two teams that are motion offense. They move the ball. It's pretty to watch. They pass, and everything flows and looks good. And then you have what the Phoenix Suns were running, which was less of that motion offense and more of that just run and gun. Everything's a fast break, almost like Loyola from the, what is that, the 80s? Loyola Marymount?
Yeah.
Like those teams that were scoring 150, 160 a game.
And I think in a football sense too, like the first teams that were doing the 5-wide spread that were just said, fuck it, we're not running ever. We're just going to throw.
Yeah, get rid of defense. We don't care about defense. And that's why they don't win, right? Whereas a motion offense is geared to have, you know, you let the actual sets work for you to a degree. I don't know. I think that the Phoenix Suns would be a little harsh on this because this is a fun beer, but at the same time, like this can win some awards in my mind.
So you think this is a more evolved version?
I think it's closer to like to the Warriors, or you know, I mean it's. And it's a little bit less like you could go with the Pistons. It's a rags to riches type story, right? It's this. It's a lot of these cast off ingredients like rice that, you know, have gotten a bad name because they've been misused, and you put them in the right position, and they all fit together and they do something incredible.
Okay, well, let's tie this to the original topic then. What is the movie or show equivalent of this Golden State Warriors, Phoenix Suns? Free-flowing offense.
Of a free-flowing offense, it's 30 Rock. It's not even close. Like, just everybody is on their game. They're all put in the exact position they need to be in order to succeed. Like, for me, there's no question on that. It's also just, like, the improvisation of it and how quickly everything moves back and forth.
Yeah. I would say it's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, interesting. That's another good one.
And, I mean, the show is literally improv for the most part. There's a loose outline, but you know, you've got your main cogs, you've got Larry, you've got Jeff Garland, you've got JB Smoove, and then you have these people that pop in, and sometimes they play themselves, sometimes Vince Vaughn just plays a guy named Freddy who's not famous. he's a recurring character that I greatly enjoy, but I feel like that's a show that actors love being on because it's just like, it's just fun to play around.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the biggest IO theater stage that there's ever been.
Yeah.
So I think about that. Another one that I think about, which is not improvised at all, but Veep.
Yeah.
Veep just had this like flow to it where everybody was just rolling jokes right off one another.
Veep has an edge, though. Veep has, like, that kind of bad boy's edge, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think Curb is still eligible for that, and 30 Rock, where it's, like, that just fast punching up constantly.
Yeah.
You know? Versus, like, Veep is literally, like, I'm going to punch down until you're buried.
Okay, but how about drama? Is there a way we can fit a drama into this conversation?
So let's think about this from the perspective of like the Island of Misfit Toys, right? What are some actors who didn't really thrive prior to, so it's like come to fame late in life?
John Hamm?
Yeah, so John Hamm would be a good one. So we can throw John Hamm in there. You know what? Actually, it could be Mad Men.
There were a lot of late in life stars on that show. John Slattery.
Yep. Christina Hendricks.
Christina Hendricks. Ugh, fuck. What was Pete Campbell's actor name?
I don't know.
Vincent something.
I'm so upset to hear that we share a name. I despise that character so much.
Yeah. He wasn't that old, though. So I guess
Alison Brie was young.
Very young.
But.
And so was Elizabeth. The girl that played Peggy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
She's Moss, a Scientologist.
Elizabeth Moss. Right. But January Jones is another one who, whether she was young or not, she'd been in the industry for a while and just hadn't caught on, and this did it for her.
How about James Gandolfini?
Yeah. Sopranos could be another one.
Yeah, well, in general, The Sopranos, not that it was improvised, but that was just like simultaneously lightly feeling, but also like
it was very niche.
It was extremely well mixed. That's the thing, and that's the thing about this beer too. Like, this is one of the lightest beers I think we've ever had, but it is full of flavor and just enjoyment. And it's like, in a way, it's kind of like drinking a cloud.
Wow, drinking a cloud. I like that. I would have a million of these. I think this is fantastic. I think the Year of the Rabbit is going to be very, very good for everybody if this is the first indicator of it. And yeah, I think just the way we've talked about it from a sports perspective has been all basketball pretty much.
Yeah.
And then even when we got onto like these ensemble casts where it's like people who didn't work where they were kind of expected to work and then got brought together and it was almost like this perfect amalgam that like just made beautiful music. Like, just thinking about those concepts and what we're saying, like, that's high praise. I don't know how we can rank these low.
Truthfully. Yeah, the only hesitation I have is that I don't know if this is going to blow anyone away. I just think that it's like, it's exceptionally well done for what it is. So my lean right now is I want to give this a 4 out of 5 Toms.
Yeah, I'm not going to I'm going to take the restrictor plate off, you know. Give the dragon a few more horses. Keep it on the down low. It's not exactly street legal. Bonus points if you can name that. Shout it out. I'll hear you. 4.5 out of 5 Vinces.
Wow.
This is awesome. I'm really enjoying this. Like, I haven't felt this way about a beer since Alaskan. Probably Alaskan Amber.
Yeah.
And truthfully, Alaskan Amber, I kind of went in with like, this is going to be the same. This one, I went in just sort of blank, right? So I don't have that amount of surprise. I think out of the glass, this might even touch 4.75. It's really, if you get a chance to have this out of a glass as opposed to out of a can,
you know what? And I will say, like, if I was at the Mars Community Brewing Facility, I probably would just feel even better about this because I feel like they cater to an in-person ambiance. And I can just tell from everything we've read about in the can itself, like, this is an inviting, warm place for, you know, people that want to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the vibe I got when I was there. But I honestly can't think of a better note to sign off on.
I can't either. And if you want to hear more of our amazing takes, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter, and maybe TikTok at this point. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, we could be on TikTok. Yeah. Right? We're on TikTok.
Yeah. All right.
Whether we have content, we're not sure.
But until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans,
must booze.
See you later.